Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Appreciate everyone tuning in. A few minutes late there getting you signed in so that you could talk back and forth. I hope everyone's had a good week. Sure enjoy the beautiful weather. If you'll get up early enough, it's really nice out in the mornings. You wait until about 9 o'clock, it starts to get hot, but I am thankful how the Lord's provided and just given us some beautiful weather these last couple of weeks. It is southeast Georgia. We're headed to summertime. I can't tell you how often we don't really have a summer, don't have a lot of a fall. I think our winter is probably more of what most people would consider fall temp, but it goes straight from scorching hot, and I guess we get a little bit of mild enough weather that we can get some green things growing, because then the summer dries it all out and then the winter makes it all dead. But I'm thankful God's definitely blessed us. We've had some well-needed rain, and now we're needing some more. I know that rivers are still coming down and some things are still getting in place, but I know my garden needs some. I'm going to have to do some man-made watering, and it's never as good as what God gives. And so give you an opportunity to get a few folks in. We've got some that have already joined and been waiting on us, and I appreciate you coming in and being so faithful. Love our church services, even though we're not necessarily together. Y'all get to stare at me. I get to stare at a phone. It's not even staring at a camera. It's staring at a phone. So it's just kind of odd how that works. But Lord blesses anyway. Take your hymn books if you've got one. And turn to page 185. 185, My Savior's Love. We're going to start off there. Boy, I'm thankful that He hasn't forgot me. He still loves me. Paid everything I need to go to live in heaven with Him. Was all made possible by Him and through Him, all because He loves me. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 19 that we love Him because He first loved us. We wouldn't know what love is without God. There's those out there today that say that they love, but yet don't know God. And so I really question if they even know what love is, because if you don't know who God is, you don't know the love that's real. 185, My Savior's Love. Jacob had to finish getting sound on. I appreciate all the help he's given. Going to try here as we start out singing. Once again, sounds a whole lot better. I sound a whole lot better when you're singing out loud. So I encourage you to sing out My Savior's Love, page 185. Let's stand as we start off today. And besides that, that's the very first part of the song, I stand. So anyway, it's just scriptural, I think. We can put it as that. Here we go.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden He prayed, not my will, but Thine. He had no tears for His own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
On the third,
He took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen. I'm going to ask Jacob to open us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to be able to come to the house of God today, dear God. I thank you for still giving us safety and provision, dear God, as this virus is going around. I thank you for giving us that have still have to work, dear God, as essential workers, that you've given us safety, dear God, on the roads and with this virus, dear Lord. I pray that you'll keep us safe, dear God, until all this passes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Take your hymn books, turn over to page number 343, Revive Us Again. I had been praying that God would give me liberty. I don't have it yet, and I don't know that I'll have it for next week, but God had given me liberty to preach 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and just see what the Lord would do through the church during this time. I'm thankful that God's not done. I know that things aren't the way that we normally have them, and I know some have went back to what they think is going to be normal, but yet God still has a plan, and His plan is to work through His church. It's not going to be through some national crusade. It's not even going to be through the nation of America. It's going to be through the local church, and that's God's design. And so when we sing out about Revive Us Again, it's really not revive the nation. It's not even about reviving the lost, because they can't be revived. They're lost. They haven't ever had vibe. They don't need revived. So they need to be saved. And God's speaking here about the church, that we need to sing out and just pray that God would revive the church. You say, preacher, but we're not having service, but we are having service. We got to get past the point that we're not here face to face. We can still have service. Because God's still with us, and He's still He's using this to be able to reach others. And we had a family that doesn't always come here. They go to several other churches, had sent a letter and said, thank you for putting your putting the services online. And then I think as well, I got the mail this morning and had a card in it. I have no idea who it was from. It was from a missionary. No return address. It had no name in it whatsoever, but it just said, thank you for your continued support during these times and how much it's needed so that we can reach missions in other countries. So I encourage you to pray and realize that God's not done. So let's sing out Revive Us Again, 343. Revive Us Again. Amen. Here we go. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Now hold on, all right, hold on. On that third and fourth verse, I just sung out loud enough during amen. And remember, that means I agree with. That means that what's said was right. And boy, I want that. I want God to do a work. And when I shouted amen out, I know we've got some empty walls in here, but I heard it echo. And so I encourage you. You got a few of you together there at the house. Go ahead and shout it out. Maybe you're just by yourself. Maybe you're even to the point that others are kind of around you. It'd be all right to shout it out. Let them know that you agree. And boy, I want to see what God's got in store. So on the third now. On the third. Here we go.
All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen, amen. Well, I do have a few announcements. I want to thank our visitors for joining in with us today. Pray for our bus ministry. I definitely hope that they're able to tune in. I've tried to get... there's some, I guarantee you, that I've forgot. And I know you say, Preacher, we've been in this a month and a half. I think this is our sixth week, if I haven't counted right, that we've been doing it this way. And I'm sure that there's some that I've forgot. There's some that I haven't made contact with. I've tried to get CDs to those that don't have access to watch it live. But with that, if you've got access to someone, invite them to come and watch. And you never know what the Lord's going to do through this. And yet, He'll get the glory for it. Promote the service. If you've got Facebook, if you've got social media, put it on there. Let others know that we're doing this. We are trying to get 1,000 subscribers. And I think we got 89 when I looked this morning. And so do subscribe if you haven't, and encourage others to as well. It'd sure be a blessing. I could come into the church and just push a button and go live automatic. And it'd be a blessing to be able to do. And so just go ahead and realize that it's just the same as inviting them to church right now, because this is what we're doing. And just pray that God would use it to His glory. Also with that, I want us to keep in prayer for the safety of all of our church. I'm thankful right now everyone has been safe. I am watching the numbers. Friday. Friday, in a 24-hour period, we had a total of 1,200 and I think it was 32 confirmed case increase in the state of Georgia. Yesterday was like 800 and some increase. The numbers are still going now. Today's numbers are going to be a little bit different. There's not a lot of places reporting today, and so the numbers will seem really low. But since, I guess I tallied it up, it was probably Saturday morning, maybe it was Friday night, but we had 4,500 confirmed cases. Haven't looked at the deaths a whole lot. It's still running right around 3.9%. And just pray for safety. Pray for safety of those that you know, but pray for safety through the church. I would hate to think that someone in the church would get it, and it would be because of one of our decisions. And so just pray for safety. We know we've got several that are out working. I know there's several in the church that work, and they've been able to. And listen, it's a blessing that you're able to work during this time, but in the same sense, pray for safety for those. So I'm thankful for that. Now, we've got a birthday coming up. Sister Edra's got a birthday this week on the 5th, and I need to sing happy birthday to her. I do have the new calendars as well and the new prayer list. So they're getting in the mail. If you have not told me, now listen to me, if you did not tell me or Sister Sarah last month and you want one this month, you need to either text me or text Sister Sarah and let her know your address so I don't have to go and look them up. Now, if you did it last month, I've already got it all down, and those are automatic. Boy, it's just like, you know, once you sign up for automatic bill pay, it's going to come out next month for you. And so what a blessing there. We'll just be able to get it on. But don't whine and complain to someone because you didn't get one, because you didn't do what you're supposed to do. And I know maybe it's because I'm standing behind the pulpit. So if you want a calendar and a prayer list this month and you didn't get one last month, let me know so that I can do that. You say, Preacher, why'd you come out from behind the pulpit? Because when I speak behind the pulpit, you don't listen. Amen. And so I encourage you, send that out and let me know, and I'll get it in the mail to you. You say, Preacher, when are we going back to church? I don't know yet. God hasn't given me peace. I've been praying about it. I want to come back. And I know there's some churches that went back. And I pray that God would be merciful to them, let them enjoy the service, and none of them get sick. But it only takes one. And some of you have had some sinus stuff, and you get that I don't feel good feeling, and there's a fear that comes over. I would hate to think that I was the reason that someone got sick. with this virus. And worst case that they would pass from it, I don't know if they're saved. It might be best case. Amen. But nonetheless, do pray for safety for everyone. So let's sing happy birthday to Sister Ebra and wish her a happy birthday. I know she's not listening right now, but she'll get the CD tonight and be able to hear it. So sing out now. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. I do want to thank everyone for being faithful. Watching as I had looked over the month's finances, and I know this is the time we take up our offering, and I'm thankful for all those that have been so faithful to send in and just staying faithful where you're supposed to be. And everything's getting paid for. I do have all the accounts. You say, Preacher, we're going to want to see all those when we get back. That's fine. We've got them all. Everything's written down. Everything's accounted for. And I appreciate those that are faithful to send, those that are faithful to continue to serve. Sister Woody and Sister Eder have been very faithful in getting all of that done and getting the money to the bank and everything that needs done. So I'm thankful, and I appreciate their faithfulness and your faithfulness. And most of all, I appreciate that God's still faithful. He's provided during this time. And so just continue to be faithful to Him, because He's always faithful to us. Amen. All right, take your hymn books. One last song here, page number 41. Page number 41, Sweet By and By. When you get there, let's stand for this last song here. And I encourage you, social distancing here, but there's no social distancing at your house. Listen, it'd be all right for you to look at your wife and tell her you love her, husbands and wife. It'd be all right for you to look at your husband and tell her you love her. And it'd be all right for your mom and dad to look at your children and tell them you love them. And so maybe even as we think about this last song and get to the chorus, maybe you could just look at your family and just praise the Lord for them. And I think about this song, Sweet By and By. You know, the greatest thing that we'll ever have is the fact that we'll be able to spend eternity with Him. But our loved ones will be with us as well. And so I pray, Jeremiah's the last one, that we need to see get saved, and I'm thankful God's already working on him. Some of you don't know it, but after the service and after the camera's turned off, he's up here preaching while I'm getting the CDs around, and it's a blessing to watch that he's got a desire for the things of God. And what he'll tell you is, without the blood, you don't go to heaven. Amen. And so I'm thankful for that. So let's sing out Sweet By and By.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet. Shall meet on that beautiful shore, the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
On the last,
to our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise. For the that hallow our day. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, that beautiful shore.
Amen, amen. Well, it was good singing, folks. It sounded good today. Amen. Thankful to have you sing along and be a part of the service. Once again, I really encourage for you to take this as a church service and get ready, get dressed, set it up. Don't put your roast on high. I'm still going to preach. And I guess this way, at least you'd be at the house. You can smell it before it catches on fire. But the truth of the matter is, I don't want you to be preoccupied. I believe that we can have service and have it to where God will use it to His glory. I think that if we would be honest, we know that He'll still speak, even if we're here today in this manner. And I want to kind of preach on this subject because this isn't normal church. And if you would, take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 12. Matthew chapter 12, we come to this passage of Scripture. I actually wrote it down in September. And God had brought it back to me, and I was meditating on it in September and just kind of pushed it to the side. I didn't feel like God had a message out of it yet. And He brought it back up to me this past week, and as I just saw it and began to chew on it a little more, I was like, you know, this is where we are today. And over in the book of Matthew chapter 12, if you're there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I want us to start in verse number 9. In verse number 9, and just to kind of give you the context of verses 1 through 8, and we'll go back and look at a few of those here in a little bit, but in verses 1 through 8, we find that the Pharisees and the scribes are dealing with the fact that the Sabbath wasn't the way that they thought it should be. And here in verse number 9, the Bible says, "And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, and that they might accuse him?" Sounds to me like they already knew the answer. In verse number 11, "And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Lord, once again we come, and Father, as I'd mentioned earlier, this is the sixth week that we've been doing services this way. And Lord, I don't know that I've gotten used to it. I don't know that I've gotten better with them. But yet, Lord, I do realize that this is your way. Lord, that we need to be able to come and Father, expect you to do something, because it's not our way. It's not the way that we choose. But instead, Lord, I like the simple. I like to just sit back and let you do. And Lord, I find that I've got to put forth some effort, and I've got to be disciplined about some things, and I've got to expect in a different way. And Lord, I pray that you just help me today to be able to bring this message in the way that you would. Lord, I pray, maybe there's one, and Lord, I know that we have a greater opportunity to reach folks that never come to the service. But Lord, I pray that you would speak to that heart that's lost and undone. That one that, Lord, they've heard,
maybe they've even prayed a prayer, they've performed some work, they've been baptized, they've been a good person, but Lord, they know without a shadow of a doubt if they died right now that they'd go to hell. Lord, I pray for that one. I pray, Lord, You'd speak to their heart before it's everlasting too late. Then, Lord, I pray for that child of God that's here. Lord, that one that Lord, we need some encouragement today. Lord, if we'd be honest, we can't trust anyone here. I think about the numbers of this COVID. Lord, we didn't trust the numbers when they first came out. Lord, now that they're opening things back up, I don't trust the numbers that they're just going to quit reporting some things so that we don't think that it's as bad as it is. Lord, I don't trust the government. I don't trust society. I don't trust this world. But Lord, I need some encouragement from You today. And I pray that You would meet with us and encourage us as only You can. And Father, I pray that You would just have Your will and way in this service. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We come to this passage of Scripture, and there's one thing that we could agree upon, that church is different. It's definitely not the same. It's definitely not what it used to be. There's a desire to get things back to normal, and yet we don't even know what normal is going to look like. There's the expectation that we have that we'll run the buses again, and then we find that there's the safety precautions that limit certain things, and even if we had it, and I know that they lifted the shelter in place, but you can't fit very many people in here and keep the social distance requirements. You can't keep everyone safe when it takes one person to get everyone else sick, and then you spread it on, and it goes on. And so we've got all of these things, and yet we never expected it to be this way. I think about all the times that, and I know, and I mentioned it Wednesday night, about the fight that folks have and this idea that we're the government can't tell us we can't have church. To my understanding, in the state of Georgia, they've never told us we couldn't. But in the same sense, we always looked as we would suffer this persecution and we would have these times and we would say that they're against us, but we never thought it'd be a virus that would limit us back. We didn't pass a checkpoint today to keep us from coming to church, but there's a virus at the door. And so we look and we realize that it's beyond our control. It's past us. And may I tell you that all those years ago, I didn't do the research. It wasn't that important to me about when the internet actually came out. And I remember as a young child that my mom worked on computers, data processing, and I remember the computer was bigger than this offering table. And I remember that the disc was like a 12 by 12. It looked like an actual record that she would put in there. And, you know, all those years ago, as God has allowed this technology to increase, to the fact that I'm on a cell phone right now recording live to you over this internet, you say, "Preacher, what's all this about?" May I tell you that all the way back there, when God allowed man to invent this humongous machine called a computer, that He knew that there was going to be a time where churches were going to use it so that they could reach the congregation that wasn't able to sit in the pews. And you say, "Preacher, I don't get it." Now listen, it's not my desire. I would much rather have you come in here and be able to yell at you a little bit at the service instead of yelling at you over the phone. I can't see your facial expressions. I can't see when Brother Richard laughs at me because I say something, or when Brother Stephen's scared because I'm going to say something. I can't see your facial expressions. I've just got to pick on Jacob now. So Jacob desires for you to get back in church too. And so we look at this and we think about the fact that it's out of our control. But may I tell you what a church is? And a church is more than the building. It's more than just coming to the building. And boy, I'm thankful for the facilities. In fact, we had walked in today and opened the main door, and we've been up here, haven't been up here a whole lot, but we've been up here, and I just noticed down on the right-hand side, down towards the ground, that there was a spider web. And I was like, "Boy, I wonder how many spider webs are in the Christian heart today, because we've gotten cold and complacent with God." And I look and I think about the building, and people drive by, and I've got to get up here and get some things done, and I wonder how many people have have thought, boy, there's the church. But yet the building sits vacant. It's not, church is not the building. I think as well that building's not the denomination. Or I'm sorry, that church is not the denomination. I'm thankful that we're Baptists. Listen, I'm a Baptist because I believe what the Word of God says and it lines up in the doctrinal teachings that come from the Baptist faith is the fact that it lines up with the Word of God and I truly am a Baptist. But I'm thankful that's not the church. We can put it out here on the sign and I know that there's some that they have Baptists on the sign. I really pray that they'd take it off. Because they don't line up. Either that or I need to take it off because I don't line up with them and I don't want people to associate with that. And so, what is church? Well, if we would go back to the Greek, and I'm thankful that we can speak Greek in church, can't speak French in church, but you can speak Greek in church. Brother Richard will get that here in a minute. But I think about the fact that the Greek word for church is ekklesia. It's a called out assembly, ekklesia. The reason that I chose that we could go live on YouTube is so that we could all meet together and we could be a called out assembly all right here. And boy, I know that I can't see your living room and I can't see where you're sitting and I can't see how active you are in the service. But there's a time that we're called out so that we can be here at 11 o'clock and we can all be together. And we might not be able to see each other, but some are commenting to where you can you hear that praise and you see the response and you see that everyone's got a purpose here. You see, I think about Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 20. It's one of the most misused verses. So many people use it out of context. But the Bible tells us in Matthew 18 and verse number 20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." May I tell you that God still honors church service like this? That this church service, it's not church. Jacob has told me several times, and Wednesday night's really kind of odd because Jacob's able to sit in the recliner and relax. I don't know why he thinks it's so odd. His mama always gets after him because he's so long that he wants to kind of lay down and he's getting comfortable in the pew and it's almost like he's laying down when he's just sitting. But anyway, you know, he's told me, he said, Dad, it just doesn't feel like church. And I get it, it doesn't. But may I tell you that God still honors it because there's two or three people that we've came for a purpose and that purpose is to praise Him and that purpose is to worship Him and that purpose is to learn more about Him. That purpose is to glorify Him and we're a called out assembly that we've came on time, that we've came with the desire, that we've came with the direction, that we've came for Him. And you say, preacher, what's this all about? Verse number 9 bothers me. I saw this phrase. Let me read verse 9 to you again. "And when He was departed thence, He went into their synagogue." Did you see that? Their synagogue. It bothered me. So I did a little bit of research in the Bible for phrases. I did a research for "He went into their synagogue" and seeing if I could find it anywhere else. You know, the only place it comes up is Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 9. That phrase is only in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 9. So I shortened it up. I was like, well, maybe, surely, I can think about the times that He went into Peter's house and He healed Peter's mother-in-law. I can think about some other times that He had went into Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house and He had came into Simon's house. But there's only one time that it's mentioned that He went into there. And that's their synagogue. Not their home, not their heart, not their family, not their life. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I want to give you the definition of what a synagogue is. And I want you to remember the definition of ekklesia, church. Because synagogue means a congregation or assembly of Jews met for the purpose of worship and to perform of religious rites. It can be a house appropriated to the religious worship of the Jews. May I tell you that this can be the church building? But just like the synagogue, or just like the church, however you want to look at it, it's a congregation or assembly. It's called out assembly. Do you not see that? I look here and I find that He went into their synagogue. And it bothered me. Because if it's theirs, it's not His. This isn't what we chose. I didn't choose the virus. I didn't choose for us to have YouTube. I was talking to Brother Morris Mitchell on Wednesday. I was talking to him Wednesday. Time flies when you're not going anywhere. But I was talking to him Wednesday. And he told me that, and they've got a great sound man up there. He did the sound and the video and everything for the camp meeting that he had. And he told me, he said, "Yeah, preacher, all I do is I listen to him." He's like, "Hey, I'm going to do this and this and this." And I say, "Oh, is that going to work?" And he's like, "Yeah. Okay, go." And I'd much rather just have it to where we didn't even have to have this phone. Didn't have to have the service like this. I've got cords stretched out, and I mean, I'm just waiting for the electricity to dim. If Brother Duke takes a nap, the electricity is going to dim on us because we're sucking all this energy so that we can live stream. This wasn't my choice. I'd much rather have service with live people here and be able to... there's not even a... this isn't even the bathing pew anymore. They can't even get a spit bath as I'm preaching because there's no one there. And so I look and I think about where Brian had sat, and boy, how I miss Brian sitting there. I think about how... Well, all of our bus riders. I miss everyone. I still go to pew to pew to pew, and I see that you're supposed to be sitting there and you're not there. This wasn't my choice. And it bothers me that we've came to the place that God can't do anything because it's not our way in our church. And I'd like to give you three facts about this phrase that he went into their synagogue. The first one that I find is the possession of the phrase. There's a possession of this phrase. You see, they thought that they owned the Sabbath. How many times do we think that it should be our way? Lord, if you need some advice, if you need some direction, I'm available. I can go ahead and tell you this isn't the way I would have had it to be. But may I remind you that His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts, that His ways are higher than ours, that His way is always right. And so I look and I find that they thought that they owned the Sabbath. Now, we know here that in verse number 10 of our text that they had this man. They knew this man was going to be there. And they knew the answer that they might accuse him at the end of verse number 10. But they're asking him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? Now, I want to hit this for a minute. I didn't necessarily put it in my note, but I want you to think about this. Days is plural. It's not just speaking about Saturday. You see, in the Jewish custom, and this is how so many people get so confused with the fact that Jesus wasn't crucified on Friday. I mean, they forgot how to count, for one, but also with that, is they don't realize the Jewish custom. And the day of unleavened bread was a Sabbath. The day of Passover is a Sabbath. Then you have the Sabbath being a Saturday or the seventh day. And so you look at these, and any of those Sabbath days, they were days that were set apart for the Lord. May I tell you that we don't worship on the Sabbath anymore? I know some people are like, well, this is the Lord's day and this is the Sabbath. This is not the Sabbath. The Sabbath means Saturday. Remember, this is the first day of the week. You know why we worship on the first day of the week? It's when the disciples worshiped once Jesus arose from the dead. They were no longer under the law. It's the start of the church. They're worshiping on the first day of the week. And boy, they came on the first day of the week. And so we look here and we think about the fact that I'm using this in the application. So many times we think that we own the Sunday, if you would. That we own whatever can take place, and we've decided what's legal and what's not legal. Look, if you would, over into Matthew chapter number 12. Look at verse number 1. The disciples here were walking through this cornfield. This was not peaches and cream corn. This wasn't even Silver Queen corn. And this would have been a cornfield. There would have been a field of wheat, and they would have been talking about pulling the kernels off. It would have been in that idea, maybe even a barley field. It would have been a grain field. And I know, don't get technical on me, corn is grain. I get that. However, it wasn't speaking about ears of corn. They weren't pulling those off. This would have been held in the hand. It would have been small. But notice in chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and His disciples were an hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn." I know you're going to say, "Preacher, they're eating, they're husking it, and they're eating it. That's not the same corn." And to eat, notice verse 2. "But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Him, Behold, Thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day." They weren't supposed to harvest. They weren't supposed to work. And so therefore, there was none of that to go on. Look on down into verse number 6. And Jesus reminded them in verse number 3 and 4 about David and the showbread. Reminded them about verse number 5 about the priests. This is anything but a day of rest for me. Sundays are not a day of rest. It's probably the hardest day that I work. In verse number 6, He says, "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." Now, you know, it came to the place where we can determine what's to be done on the Lord's Day. Hold your place now in Matthew, but turn over to the book of Mark. I got several places I want you to look at. Look over to the book of Mark in chapter number 7. Mark 7. How many times do we get to the fact that we get into a ritual? I was even thinking about as we came to church this morning. Of course, we're not having Sunday school. Sister teaches Jeremiah and me Sunday school. I was listening as Jeremiah was getting his Sunday school lesson this morning. And we leave the house an hour later than we normally would. It's getting out. In fact, I was thinking about it this morning. I was, you know, once we get to the point that we can have service, and you know, I'm not sure how it's going to work and what services we're going to have and how everything's going to be. And you know, I was thinking about we're out of our ritual. We're out of our custom. We're out of the way that we normally do things. And so often we think, well, you know, this is how it's done, and there's some folks that'll never worry about coming to Sunday school. You're not going to have that. You're not going to worry about that because that's not in your ritual already. There's some of you that have already cut some things out. Sunday night, it's not important. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. Well, you know, if I make it to church and we have that church of convenience and we've got that idea. Now, hold on a second. The Bible still says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more. May I tell you what we need to be? I need to have just live YouTube 24/7. We can't meet here at the house of God, but we can meet here at your house through this. And boy, we could just have live YouTube 24/7. Be able to preach so much the more. It might not be the way that you think that it's going to be, but it's so much the more as you see the day approaching. May I tell you what day is approaching? Return of my Savior is approaching. I find it very soon. Look, if you would, we've came up with some customs and some traditions. In Mark chapter number 7, look at verse number 2. Once again, the Pharisees and the scribes are talking to Jesus about what's lawful and what needs to be done. In verse number 2, He says, "And when they saw some of His disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, and they eat not, holding the tradition of the elders." Now, listen, this wasn't because they had to have the 22nd hand washing because there's a virus going on. This was a ritual. This was ceremonial. This was, look, I'm clean. I've had to go out into the market. Hey, I don't think that there's anything wrong with washing your hands. That's not what this verse is talking about. But they've came up with the traditions of man. and they've came up to where they want to please man more, and it's about what they do. And boy, praise the Lord, I'm telling you, you're not right. Brother Scooter, I hope you got your suspenders on today. You're not right unless you wear suspenders, men. And boy, we've came up with these customs and these traditions that said it's got to be the way man says it's to be. And he goes on. And he says in verse number 4, "And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables." Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why walk not the disciples according," notice this, "to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" And he answered and said unto them, "Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." You know, isn't it amazing that so many times people have that check the block religion? You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" Well, I don't know that it could get any more convenient for you. I know there's technical difficulties. Don't think that we don't face them every time we go to push on. In fact, this morning, just like most every time that we come to the church and get ready to set it up, I pushed the button, and one of the reasons that it took me a minute to get us on, and I wasn't able to get us on a little bit early so that you could have signed in and talked back and forth, was for the fact that when I pushed that I wanted to go to an upcoming event, it told me I had invalid credentials, that I wasn't allowed to do it. I was like, I love technology. And, you know, it really doesn't get any more simple for you. Yeah, you might lose some connection, and you might have to do this, or you might have to do that. But praise the Lord, you lose it, and it's going to still be on there. You'll be able to go look it up from now on. I think about some of the sermons that are on there, on that page from 2017. So you can look them back up. We have endless amount of memory that we can put on there, and they're not going to tell us that we've got too many videos. Boy, isn't that good? But you know, it's funny to me that we're complaining because we want to go to church, and we want to go to church, and we want to go to church, and then the only time that you can watch service through YouTube is only on a Sunday morning. Because what you really mean is, I want to go to church while I can't. But then when I can, I'll find out why I can't go then. And so we've got this idea that I'm going to have it my way because I own the Sabbath. I decide what's going to happen. I'm going to choose what's lawful and not. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe in working. It should be a day of rest. Boy, praise the Lord. It should be a day of rest. We need to have that. God's designed our bodies that way, that we need that day of reset. But I find as well, you know, I remember back in the day when they used to preach against eating on Sunday, eating out on Sunday. I love Chick-fil-A. I think it's great. You say, "Preacher, look at all the money that they lose because they don't work on Sundays." I don't think it's hurt them any. Just thinking there. I look every Monday through Saturday, their drive-through line is wrapped around the building. I don't think it's hurt them any. I think as well about Hobby Lobby. I'm not promoting them, but listen to me. There's two businesses that I know that aren't open on Sundays. In fact, Hobby Lobby closes early on Wednesday night so that you can be at service. They're not going to limit you from worshiping God. Isn't that good? You know why? They said that they don't own the Sabbath. I just free there. I look at the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after God." I wonder what lines up with this. It's amazing to me at how many people have a cross up still right now because men have said that that'll help our providers, our medical staff and everything. In fact, I went past a church that they're calling it a prayer cross. There's another church here in Pembroke that has this wooden, drawn out, looks like a stained glass window, and on the side of it is a string and a Sharpie marker that you can go up, and what they are encouraging you to do is to go and write a message of hope. You know what it is? Oh, that sounds good. It doesn't sound wicked at all. But it's blasphemy, it's vain, it's deceit, it's tradition of men. Putting a cross up in your yard does not make you closer to the Lord. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. It doesn't make you closer to the Lord. In fact, you can blaspheme just as well with the cross in your yard as without it. That's free. It's not in my notes. You'll be all right. And so I find here that there was a possession in this. It was their synagogue. They thought they owned the Sabbath, but then I find as well they thought they owned the synagogue. May I tell you that they had professional church? They had professional church. I know there's some preachers that would never ever have me because I'm kind of a loose cannon. I just say what I feel that the Lord has on my heart, and that's okay. And I know that there's some that, boy, I'd have to put my coat back on and button it down, and there's no walking around, and I will stand up here and I will articulate every word, and I will not get excited because it might bother you. And if it bothers you, then this probably isn't the right church for you because I'm not going to preach like this. And so I look and I think about this professional church they had, and I'm not saying I have it right, but I do believe that God allowed Paul to be Paul. God allowed Elijah to preach like Elijah preached. God allowed Elisha to preach like Elisha preached. God allowed Philip to preach like Philip preached. You understand what I'm saying? And so I look here and I find this professional church that they had. There's twofold that we look at today, or there's two different types. I find the ones that are so loose that, boy, it's a rock concert. They've got the platform up here. And then I find the conservative crowd that said, boy, I think that those mood lights would go good in our church and we can have that. And they're trying to adopt everything. And then there's those ones that said that, anything goes. We're so liberal and we're so loose and we've got our T-shirt guns. And yet we're going to shoot out T-shirts, but they're only going to be spiritual T-shirts. They're going to say something spiritual and they're only going to be in blue. And so, boy, we've got it down, and we can shoot out these T-shirts, and we'll have that rock concert, and we'll entertain them, and we'll have that, and we'll call it church. May I tell you that God's not in that? He said in chapter 12 of Matthew, he said in verse number 6 that in this place is one greater than the temple. May I tell you that He's not in those places. He's not in that one that's so rigid and so defined and so special that even the Holy Spirit couldn't move. And so I look and I think about Matthew 16 and verse number 18. And the Bible says, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. May I tell you, He's not speaking about Peter himself. If we were to go back over to that passage of Scripture in verse number 13, Peter makes the confession or the profession, and he says that thou art the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ. And he says it's upon that rock. You see, Peter means Petros, which means little rock. But Petra is the rock that Christ is building upon because He is that rock. And so I look and I find that we don't own the synagogue because we don't own the church. And so I look and I find not just the first is the profession, I'm sorry, the possession of the phrase, but I find the problem of the phrase. Notice, if you would, they had no anticipation. No anticipation. You know what they were looking for? A reason to get at Him. When's the last time you came to church really expecting God to do something? I know you're going to say, preacher, we're not here at church. May I tell you, the same Spirit of God that moves here at this church can move at your house. The same Spirit of God can use this message and speak to your heart right where you are. I've heard of those that, I don't remember the accounts of D.L. Moody, in the accounts of some of those old-time preachers, but they would talk about this young man or this young lady that would come up to the service and just kind of waywardly find their way in. And I know you're going to say, preacher, they had a live service. We've got a live service right now. Pinch yourself. You're alive. Amen. And so we look and we think about this idea that they would just come in and they would get saved. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit had liberty to move. May I tell you, the problem is today is we're really not expecting God to do anything with this. We're just filling the block and we're still meeting the requirements. We're meeting three times a week and we're doing what we're supposed to do. No, hold on a second. Do we anticipate God to do anything in our family, in our lives, through the preaching of His Word? The preaching hasn't changed. Listen, folks, I still spit just as much. I still get just as hot. I still holler. I still shout. I still wander around. I still study. I'm still praying. I'm still doing. And the Holy Spirit still wants to move. And He'll do it at your house, in your heart, if you'll let Him in. I find the problem that they have is they didn't anticipate anything. They didn't expect Him to move. In fact, what they were waiting, when he enters into their synagogue, they can ask Him to leave. One of my greatest fears about this YouTube is that someone can just push stop when they're tired of it. Oh, my dear friend, they can push stop as soon as they're in here and get tired of it. Don't tell me that you can't block something out. I wonder when the last time you've been anticipating a miracle. When's the last time you've expected God to do something big in your life? You say, preacher, we don't see any miracles like that anymore. I'm thankful we still see souls saved. That's the greatest miracle you'll ever see. And so I look here and I think about Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 58. It's when Jesus had came to His people in His country. And yet He couldn't do much. The Bible tells us in Matthew 13, 58, and He did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. When's the last time we've came, even if it's hunkering up to your YouTube screen, so that you can watch the service anticipating God to do something? Hold your place in Matthew 12. Look over at John chapter number 20. In John chapter number 20, Jesus is already been crucified and resurrected. In John chapter number 20, I want you to see the reason that the Bible, or specifically the book of John, was written, but may I tell you, it's the whole Bible. In John chapter 20, look at verse number 30. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. May I tell you that if there was a book that could hold everything that Jesus has done, it would be bigger than either any of us could hold. It would be bigger than any of us could contain. And yet, He said, I've wrote this so that you'll know. I've wrote this. How much more does He desire to do if we just anticipate that He's going to do it? How much do we really desire for Him to do? May I tell you, He desires to do much more than we've ever seen. There was many things that He had did in front of His disciples that aren't in the book. May I tell you that there's many things that He's done in my life that aren't in the book. Oh, I'm not saying that they don't line up to the book, but I'm saying they're not recorded in this book. They're the way that the book says they're going to be. But may I tell you that He wants to do more in my life and He wants to do more in your life than He's ever done. And even in this time, I can't help but think about old Esther when she had came to Mordecai and he had said that it's for such a time as this. May I tell you, we may be here on YouTube and not in the house for such a time as this. God still has a reason. Do we have an anticipation that He's going to do it? I find as well the problem wasn't just that they didn't anticipate Him to do anything, but I found that they had no authority. They had no authority. Now, they wanted to accuse Him. They wanted to be able to accuse Him. In fact, that was the only anticipation that they had, was they were expecting for Him to do something contrary to what they wanted Him to do. But man, I tell you, they had a headless church. It was their synagogue. They didn't want to see... Do you remember the definition of synagogue? It was that group or that congregation or that assembly that had came out so that they could worship God, but yet they did not want God in it. I wonder where we've came, church. In John chapter number 9 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. I told you a moment ago that they had no authority, and the fact that they didn't want Him. You see, it was their synagogue. If it's my house and I don't want you there, I can ask you to leave. And you can tell me, well, preacher, I don't want to leave right now, and I can help you out the door because it's my home. You see, when it's theirs, they can tell him to leave. In fact, if we were to read on, was it not found in Matthew chapter number 12 that they desired his hurt? In verse 14 it says, how they might destroy him out of their synagogue. They had no authority. They were headless. I wonder where we are today, church. You know, the only authority that we have is to stand on the Word of God, because it's the way of God. It's the will of God. It's the work of God. And so I look and I think about the problem that they had, is they had no God because they had no authority. Notice as well this third fact, is I find the power over the phrase. I want you to take your Bibles, look at the book of Luke. Now, Luke is the parallel or the same account written in the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 6. I actually want to read verses 6 through 10, but I find the power over the phrase that he entered into their synagogue. In verse number 6 of Luke 6, it says, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he had entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had a withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose up, and he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it? And looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so. His hand was restored whole as the other. And of course we find in verse number 11 the same thing that we found in Matthew 12 and verse 14. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another, what they might do to Jesus. I look at this account and I find that there is power over the phrase, he entered into their synagogue. You see, there needs to be an acknowledging of your painful condition. I think about this man with the withered hand. Now, I've never had a withered hand. I've seen people that want attention, and they might stub their little toe and they'll walk around as if it's the worst thing that's ever happened, because they're wanting someone to ask. But may I tell you, this man with the withered hand was not like that. There's no doubt that if he had a withered hand, there would have been some kind of hiding of it. I think about Napoleon and why he always had his hand in his shirt. Now, I never met Napoleon, but they say that he had a withered hand and he didn't want people to see. In that man would have hid it. He didn't want to be exposed. In fact, if you was to ask Him, it was His right hand. He was doing as good as He could do. I think about Brother Danny. I'm not making that because Brother Danny lost his hand in the meat grinder when he was 16. He turned 70 this year, or I guess at the end of last year, he had turned 70. He's dealt with it for a long time. If you were to ask him, he would tell you that he's done pretty good with it. I mean, really, he was right-handed before, and he lost his right hand, and now he's left-handed, and so he writes with his left hand, and he writes very legibly. Now, I can write with my left hand, but it's not as legible. I haven't had a lot of practice with it, but over time, he's done really well. You know, there's accounts that he even drives nails. You say, preacher, how in the world does a one-handed man drive nails? Well, he will hold the nail in his left hand, and he will take his nub, and he will take it, and he will set that nail with that nub, and then he will take his hammer in his left hand, and he'll drive it on in. And he's done that. And you'd say, preacher, what is it about that one-handed man or that withered-handed man? He's done as good as he could. I mean, really, I don't want people to notice it. I don't want people to take account of it. I don't want people to make a deal of it. I don't want people to stare at me because of it. I don't want people to pull me out and zero me out and signal me out and cause me to be different than anyone else because of my withered hand. And so I've hit it as good as I can, but then I've adapted as good as I can. I don't even need to bring out my right hand to do anything. I can tuck it up here, and I can hide it here, and no one really notices it here. And I just use my left hand for everything, and I've got it where I've adapted, I've overcome, and no one would even be the wiser. But the account that I have is the same account that we find today that everyone knows. So, preacher, how do you know that? Well, back over in the book of Matthew 12, they knew that the man with the withered hand was going to be there. In Luke 6, they knew that withered-handed man was going to be there. May I tell you that there's not a single person that doesn't have a problem. You're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior. May I tell you that you're born that way. There's people that are born without hands. There's people that are born without feet. There's people that are born without eyes or without organs. And there's people that are born that way, but there's no one that's born that's not a sinner. May I tell you, it's the same condition that everyone has. And they might have known that that man was different because he had a withered hand, but may I tell you that I know that everyone's the same because we're all sinners. But I do find power over it. You see, we've got to come to the place where we acknowledge our painful condition. I look and I think about this man and he had no hope. May I tell you as a child of God that there's some times in our life where we've got that heart that's hardened and we've got some things in our life that are out of place and we've got some areas where it becomes our synagogue instead of His. And he says that you need to stand up and come to the middle. Now, I know I haven't been having an altar call. I've been praying about this, and I don't know how to have an altar call. I guess I could turn on the CD and just, instead of you staring at me, maybe have you bow your head and close your eyes. I don't know. I'd much rather just have you pray. It'd be a good time to pray. Lord, maybe I've got that hardened heart, and it's not what I wanted it to be, but honestly, it's not supposed to be what we want it to be. It's supposed to be what He wants it to be. It's His synagogue. I'm His temple. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm His. Boy, I could preach this in many different ways. But I look here and I find that it was their synagogue, but this man had to acknowledge his painful condition. But then he had to accept the powerful cure. As much as Jesus had invited him to stand forth, I can just picture this man that thought that he had hid everything, that thought he had done everything the way it was supposed to be, that thought no one really noticed. And Jesus said, arise and stand forth in the midst. He's going, me? No, he knew. And so do you. You're here today and you're lost, and you know that if you died right now, you're not going to heaven. Oh, you might hope. You might, well, you know, one time my grandma said that everyone goes to heaven. They also say all dogs go to heaven too. And that's just not the truth. The Bible says whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's not my words. That's God's. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 15. May I tell you, you're here today and you need Jesus Christ to save you. The only way that you're going to do it is to accept His powerful cure. You're going to need to come to Him and stretch out. Did you notice what He said? Stretch forth your hand. You're going to have to stretch forth in faith. You're going to have to come to that place where you say, Lord, I need a Savior, and I know that You can save me. That's really what this man's saying. Did you not remember where he kept that withered hand? He didn't advertise it. May I tell you that if someone had a question or he had a question and he knew the answer or anything he needed to raise his hand for, he didn't raise his right hand. He raised his left hand. Jesus didn't tell him to stretch forth your left hand. He told him to stretch forth what needed to be cured. My dear friend, God didn't come to save you so that you could be better in society. He came to save you from your sins. Would you stretch forth in faith and ask Him to save you? Then I think as well, child of God, you're here today and you'd say, Preacher, I know I've kind of gotten a little bit complacent over these last 6 weeks. It's not the same. It's not what I expect it to be. It's not even really what I like it to be. Oh, my dear friend, I'd much rather see you. Instead of you happen to just stare at me, I can stare at you. But in the same sense, may I tell you, God is going to have it His way. And maybe we need to just stretch forth our attitudes. Maybe we need to just stretch forth our hardness. Maybe we need to stretch forth our callous, our coldness. I don't know what it is that we have. I just know that it's not mine. It's His synagogue. It's not my place. It's His. It really bothered me. And I know we'd say, Preacher, it's our church because it's where we come to worship. It is. But may I tell you that I'm speaking to the church today? Everyone that's a member here is that called out group that we're all supposed to be together at the called out time to be the called out assembly so that we can all worship together, so we can all learn together, so that we can all encourage each other. I'd much rather be able to hear the encouragement right here, live, right now. I don't get that. And I'm definitely one of those preachers. I hear someone saying amen. Boy, I'll preach harder. I'm also that one that when I hear silence, I think I need to preach harder there too, because I'm going to find out which dog's going to yip. But listen, it's still God's way because it's His. We're His. Aren't we glad that I'm not ours? Hey, hold on a second. If we're going to enter into our synagogue, if we're going to come to our church and we're going to come to our, we're going to be hopeless. We're going to be disappointed. I'd rather come to His when He says, the way He says, and He's going to be there. And I'm going to see Him do mighty wonderful works because it's His. In His way. I'm thankful that God blesses in spite of us. I think about the power over this phrase. God will still do something wonderful in your life in spite of you. Do you know that those Pharisees and those scribes got to see a great miracle? This man had a withered hand. I don't know. I'm going to assume his whole life. But yet, they got to see it healed. It was written in the book so that they could believe on Jesus Christ. How about you? My dear friend, God's got something to do. He's going to enter in.
I'd much rather him enter into his synagogue than mine, because I want to give my all to him, and I am his. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Your grace and your mercy that you give us, Lord. Father, I don't know about the hardness of our hearts, and Lord, the uncertainty. Lord, we want to get things back to normal, at least what we think is to be normal. But Lord, I'd rather just have them the way you want them to be. And Lord, let you get the glory. Father, that we would do your work and your will in the midst of the confusion of today. Father, would you help us? Lord, we'll praise you for it and give you glory. Lord, if there's one lost and undone, Lord, I pray most of all that today they would see their need for a Savior. Call upon you to save them through faith. And Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name.